morning, everyone. It's good to be in the Lord's house today, and those who are visiting with us, we're glad to have you today. Truly, this is the day that the Lord hath made, and we rejoice in it. Every day that the Lord gives us is a good day. Amen. Any day we're not in the hospital is a good day. Any day we can get up and get around is a good day. So it's good to be in the Lord's house today, and I'm glad that you're here. Those that might be in the parking lot listening on the radio, those that might be listening later on the website, we're glad that you're a part of this service. Most of you know Leonard Harville's daughter-in-law, Tammy, was in the accident on Wednesday. She was hit by a truck. She was out walking, I understand. And she's already had 6 surgeries, another one scheduled for tomorrow, and multiple other surgeries, I think, in the days to come. So let's just stop right now and just have a moment of silent prayer for Tammy and Phil and Leonard and the rest of the family, and then I'll pray. If you will, just bow your heads, pray for Tammy for a few moments. Father God, we're your people. We unite our hearts. We unite our prayers in praying for Tammy, for Phil, and the other members of the family. Lord, I'm sure they probably keep her pretty sedated. But Lord, I pray that down in her inner spirit, the Spirit of God would give her peace, give her comfort, give her encouragement, shower her with your love. I pray the same for Phil and the children and other relatives and friends. Father, I pray for the wisdom for the doctors and those who work with her to know exactly when and how and what that needs to be done. I pray for healing in her body, her mind. I pray that this family might experience your love in a fresh way. And now, Father, as we spend this time together in worship, study of your word, may the Holy Spirit know that he is welcome in this place at Barbie's Grove today. You know the need of each person that's gathered here. And Father, I thank you that you're such a powerful and a great and a loving and a mighty God that you can meet every need of every person. And even somebody that days from now might be listening on the website, Lord, you can meet those their needs as well. Father, we thank you that because of Jesus, we know you love us. We worship you, we honor you, we praise you, we glorify you today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Tonda up here, so unfortunately y'all get the anti-Tonda you give me. If you'd like to join us in the hymn book, it's 361. Otherwise, it will be on the board for us. And it's "We Have Come Into His House."
morning. I'd like to welcome everybody to Barber's Grove this morning, and especially our visitors we have with us today. We give you a special welcome. Come back with us at any time. Okay, as we start on announcements this morning, we see that the youth's going to have us a treat today. They're going to sing for us. We're looking forward to that. And there'll be no evening services today. Events for this week, Wednesday, October 1st at 10 a.m. will be the Wings meeting. 6:30, adult Bible study. 7:30 is deacon meeting. That may be a tentative meeting. We'll see that later on this week. Next Sunday, October 5th, 9 a.m. Sunday school, 10 a.m. Sunday worship, and 10:15, the children's worship. We'll go on to the, you'll see that youth and children meeting, adult prayer time, that is not going to happen next Sunday. Okay, we're going to North Carolina Homes Missions. Today is the last day to give. And our goal is $1,500. I think we're pretty close with that now, Brenda.
Andrew, I'm not sure what
you
did. We're at $1,470.
We're right there at it. So hopefully we'll make that goal. And again, today is the last day. We'll see that the diapers and white sprinkle, that happens to be next Sunday. That will be after the service next Sunday in the fellowship hall. And we see that the Golden Acres have an apple trip planned for the Tuesday the 14th. We'll leave the church at 8 a.m. and travel to Granddad's Apples and then the Moose Cafe for lunch. And we'll arrive back home about 5 o'clock in the afternoon. Okay. All right. Anybody that's wanting to go, put your name down. Okay, we're also seeing the bulletin there, the Boston Butt Sale, which will be the 22nd of November, 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. And Jeff, do you have anything you'd like to add to that?
Just if you're wanting a butt, get with your friendly Baptist man, and he can take your order.
And you see that price is $40 each. $45, excuse me. Are there any other announcements at this time? Anything I've overlooked? Anything that needs to be added? If not, we'll go into our prayer time. The ones I have this morning is which listed is Tammy Harbaugh. We all know the situation there. We need to continually lift her up in prayer and the family. Tony, I understand, has had to go back to the hospital this morning. Please be in much prayer for Tony and Ruth.
He's been moved to Northeast.
That's it, Northeast.
Yeah, he was at Stanley, but he's been moved to Northeast.
Okay. So we need to continue to lift him and Ruth up. We also need to remember Carol Kelly. Carol is having a hard time to get her strength back and her appetite. So just lift her up and remember her needs to Father, as to the Father, you know, from the church. Is anyone else?
Yeah.
Amen. That is a praise report for sure.
Yes.
Give God the glory.
Please keep praying.
That's the kind of reports we'd like to hear.
Yes.
Rosina?
I don't know if anybody else
not, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you at this time, dear Father. We just want to praise you and give you glory for who you are and what you do for us, dear Father. We thank you for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, that went to that cross and died for our sins so that we may have salvation, dear Father. All this stuff is, all this, these praise and glories continuously go in your honor, dear Father, here today. Dear Father, we're told in the Scripture, if we acknowledge you, you acknowledge you, will acknowledge us. And we thank you for this, dear Lord. We thank you for the power and glory that you have and you can share with us to give us healing, mercy, goodness, and grace. Dear Father, at the same time as we come to you, we have folks that we have on our prayer list. We've called their name this morning. We lift them up to you. We lift up Tammy. Father, you know her needs. You know the situation. We pray for her and the family, dear Father. We have Tony that's been mentioned this morning. And Father, just be with him and Ruth as they travel this road. Give him health and strength, dear Father. And Carol, dear Father, we lift her up to you today. Be with her, dear Father. Give her health and strength so she can come back and be with us at another time, anytime that you approve, dear Father. Also, we hear the report on Kim. This is great, great news, dear Lord. We've been praying for this, and we thank you for hearing these prayers, dear Father. We just ask you to continue to bless her and the family. And, Father, we're sad to hear about Miss Margie Louder today, but we lift her up to you. We praise you that you will heal her, give her strength and help, dear Father, as she travels down this road. Again, dear Lord, be with us as we depart from here. Give us grace and mercy. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Right. If the youth and children's choir will come up and take your place. So our youth are going to lead the praise song today, and we want you guys to participate. For the first song, Diamonds, it talks about how Jesus, sometimes even when we feel pressure on our lives, Jesus is actually making us into diamonds. And so I'm going to allow you to sit on that one and do the hand motions if you'd like. Sing along. It's a new song, but it's a great song. And then the second song that we're going to sing is Lord, I Lift Your Name on High. And I know everybody has heard that song. Everybody knows it. So when we get to that song, if you wouldn't mind standing up, those of you that can, stand up and join us with the motions on that one as well. And so they're going to be up here for us to sing. How are y'all? Sing loud, but dance louder, okay? Got it?
For the joy of the Lord, it will be my strength. When the pressure is on, he's making diamonds. Oh, the joy of the Lord, it will be my strength. When the pressure is on, he's making diamonds. Oh, the joy of the Lord, it will be my strength. When the pressure is on, he's making diamonds.
Sure, I ever had that much energy. If tomorrow morning somebody comes running up to you shouting, "I've got good news for you," you're going to say, "Okay, tell me, what's that good news?" Because it's not good news if you don't know what it is. Driving down the road to the church this morning, I had a memory flashback. Stephen and his wife had already had our first grandchild, Madeline, Maddie. One night, Pam and I are in the parsonage up at in the mountains, and the phone rings, and it's Stephen. And he says, "Guess what? You're going to be grandparents again." Well, we're all excited. I mean, after all, we only had one, and now we're going to have two. And so while we're dancing the jig, the phone rings, and it's Sarah in Oklahoma. She says, guess what? You're going to be grandparents. And in the space of 30 minutes, we went from 1 to 3. I don't think we slept much that night because we'd had some really, really good news. And all of those kids have turned into a delight. And later, Sarah and Brian had Maggie Sue. Well, let's talk about some good news, some eternal good news from Ephesians chapter 1. Eternal good news from Ephesians chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. Now notice there he says in verse 3, we've been blessed with all spiritual blessings. And it's in Christ. Now all means all. It means everything you could ever want, everything you could ever need. All the blessings that are available, he says, are in Christ, and God has blessed us with those spiritual blessings. But what does that mean when I say God's blessed us with spiritual blessings? You say, okay, Paul, what are those spiritual blessings? He goes on, and we're going to look at a number of them in the next few verses. Verse 4, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. You know, God chose you before the world was ever created. Before you ever were born. Before you ever had your first good deed. Before you ever had your first sin. God says, I choose, and put your name in that blank, to be a part of my eternal kingdom. Now that's awesome, to think that God chose us in the very beginning. And he chose us to do what? To be without blame, and holy in him in love. Without blame means that we are set apart. We can't be defeated. We can't be, we don't have a defect. That we're consecrated. He chose us in Christ. And then verse 5, he says, having predestined us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. He adopted us into the family. He chose us to be a part of his family. So in these couple of verses, he said, now listen, before you were ever born, before ever created the world, God chose you, God chose me to be a part of his eternal kingdom through the Lord Jesus Christ. But you know, it's not automatic. You've got to choose to be adopted. You've got to choose to be a part of the family. God says, I want you to be in my family. I choose you to be in my family. I select you to be in my family. But we could say no. I was thinking about this. I know a family that, I don't think they're millionaires, but they're well off. And they have money to go places and do things like Disney World or Disneyland and that kind of thing. And they're doing well. And I'm thinking about that several number of years ago, they wanted to adopt some kids. And so they're dealing with an adoption agency, and the adoption agency sent them some siblings. I don't remember whether it was two boys, a boy and a girl, or what, but they sent them some siblings. But it was obvious from day one that those kids didn't want to be adopted into that family. I mean, this family, they went out and they bought specific, like, beds and toys and everything just for these kids. They did everything to make those kids welcome. But from day one, these kids rebelled, and they rebelled. Week after week, they just refused to accept the family's love. They refused to accept the family's blessing. They acted up and they acted out, and they didn't want to be a part of the family. And finally, the couple just had to go back to the adoption agency and say, listen, they hadn't even signed any papers. So they went back and said, listen, you're going to take them back. It's obvious they do not want to be a part of our family. Now, they were chosen. They were chosen, and they had more blessing than you can imagine. Because I know some of the places that that family's gone in recent years and some of the things they've done. They had an abundance of opportunity to be blessed, but they said, we don't want it. We don't want it. We don't want to be a part of it. And I've often wondered, are those kids still cycling through the system? Of course, by now they should be about kicked out of the system because they'd be old enough. How sad. And it's how sad when people say no to the Lord Jesus Christ. God says, good news is, I choose you. I choose you. I want to adopt you into my family. It's not on the basis of what you did good. It's not on the basis of what you did bad. I chose you before any of that ever transpired. I choose. But we have to say yes. We have to say yes. That's good news. Then he goes on to say, verse 6, to the praise of his glory, of his grace, wherewith it made us accepted in the beloved. We are accepted in Jesus. It doesn't say you're accepted because of your good deeds. It doesn't say you're accepted because of your good looks. Some of us would never get in. It doesn't say we're accepted because of our finances. Again, some of us wouldn't get in. We are accepted in Jesus. If either one of my children would show up this afternoon at my house and say, Dad, I brought a friend. Can we spend the night? If Stephen vouches for them, if Sarah vouches for them, they can stay for as long as they want. They can stay as long as they want. I think you may vaguely remember a newsletter that I wrote probably 3 years ago when Pam was a student at Wingate. And she writes her mama and says, I've got this good friend named Lynn that lives in Alabama, and she won't be able to go home for fall break. Can she come to our house? And of course she did. Because Pam vouched for Lynn, Lynn was welcome to come to the Allman house for fall break. He says, you are accepted in Jesus. When you stand at the gate of heaven, if Jesus says, oh yeah, that's my friend, come right on in. Come right on in. And he says it brings glory. How does that verse start? To the praise of the glory of his grace. It's God's grace that makes it all possible. Grace is that which we receive that we do not deserve. We have that grace of God, the gift of God, that's ours because God loved. God's love poured out upon us, God's grace. And you see, he gets the grace because he extends the invitation, whether we deserve it or not, and we accept Jesus, and we become a part of his family. That's good news. It doesn't mention our sins. It says we just simply choose Jesus. Verse 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Forgiveness, redemption, our sins are paid for in full. Note canceled. I'm sure for some of you, the greatest day of your, one of the greatest days of your life was when you got that notice, you made that last payment on that car, or you made that last payment on your house, and you got back the notice, paid in full. I think there's a picture down in the library here of when you paid off the note on this building. It was a big deal. A big deal. And he says, your debt of sin has been paid in full. Your sin has been forgiven because of God's grace, and it's done through the blood of Jesus. Doesn't say because you earned it. Simply through the blood of Jesus, you receive it. Are all the charges against us dismissed? It's not like you're on parole. It's been, you've been pardoned. You know, if you're on parole and you mess up, you go back to prison. But if you've been pardoned, you're free. And he says, your debt's paid in full. Verse 8 says, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. We walk in God's wisdom. It's amazing what we can understand through the wisdom of God in us if we live a godly and a holy life. He says, God's wisdom imparted to you. And then he says in verse 9, having been made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. If you want to know God's will for your life, he will show you. He will show you. God didn't leave us to walk through this world blind. He gives you the indwelling Holy Spirit. He gives you his word, and he will lead you. The Bible says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Now, sometimes I wish I had one of those great big old flashlights where I could see from here to the house across the road. And the Lord doesn't give me that much light, but he gives me a lantern light, and I can see the next couple of steps. And as long as I can see the next couple of steps and take them, then I can see a little further, and I can see a little further. There's a lot of things in my life that if you'd asked me 60 years ago, is this the way it's going to work out? I said, well, I got different plans. But God has led. God will lead you. He wants to lead you. He wants to guide you. He wants you to know his will. There are people that go through life blindly and make this foolish mistake, that foolish mistake, and another foolish mistake, and they never seem to learn. I never seem to, I think sort of logically. And you know, sometimes women, well, they always baffle me. But, you know, you have this lady, and she marries a drunk. And he beats her, and he's ugly to her, he's mean to her. And they get a divorce. And 2 years later, she marries another drunk. And he beats her, and he's mean to her, and ugly, and hateful, and they get a divorce. 3 years later, she marries another drunk. And I'm thinking, now wait a minute. Look like something ought to click in here that says, don't keep falling for this same kind of guys. Well, God's wisdom will help us overcome things like that. God's wisdom, I won't say that we'll never get scammed, but you know, if we listen to the Lord, he'll help us to realize this is not legitimate. This is a scam. This is somebody trying to steal my money or my reputation or whatever. God's wisdom. He said, one of the benefits of God's all blessing is wisdom. We're insiders to God's plan. Verse 10, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are in earth, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him that worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. We're joined with Christ forever. Joined with Christ forever. That's beautiful. We have an inheritance. All the blessings of God. You think about all the blessings of God. You think about heaven. Eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those that love him. Paul, when he came back from that death experience where he'd stoned him and left him for dead, and he says, I saw some things I'm not even able to tell you. Awesome, awesome things. The inheritance. We have a life of pleasing to God. We have a life that brings glory to God. Nothing is more beautiful, I think, than a life that's so full of Jesus. A life that's so full of Jesus that God just gets the praise and the glory. And then in verses 13 and 14, he says, in whom you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believe you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of your inheritance unto the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. He talks about being sealed. Today, we have a notary that notarizes something that says, this belongs to so-and-so, or this is a true document. He says, you have been sealed with the Holy Spirit. God's stamp of ownership is on you through the Holy Spirit. And folks, it's so important that we understand this. Christianity is more than joining a group. I mean, you can go out and join the Civitans and the Lions Club and all these other groups. And they'll give you a card of membership and whatever. And you can be a part of the group and you can keep there, do the things that that group does. And a lot of people join the church that way. But that's not the New Testament church. The New Testament church is a group of people who are filled with the presence of God. You have something through the Holy Spirit that the world will never have. Now, as I say, a lot of people just join a church and get a, quote, membership card, and that doesn't mean anything. But he says, the part of the good news is you have been sealed, and you have the stamp of ownership, and you have received the Holy Spirit, and he says that's a down payment. It's a down payment. In a sense, he says it's like the Holy Spirit's the engagement ring. You ever see something? Look at what my fiance gave me. And, you know, we all admire the diamond or whatever, the engagement ring. And that engagement ring, if it's really given honestly, it's a promise of a wedding. And here Paul is saying the Holy Spirit living in you is a promise that you're going to be at the marriage supper of the Lamb. You're going to be eternally part of the family of God. Now that's good news. That you can have the Holy Spirit living in you. Now you see, Jesus did it all for us. We don't earn it. We simply receive it, participate in it, believe it, praise Him. As I think about this, when He says, we give you all of this good news, I wonder what's going to be your theme song. Now, if Leonard was here and his phone went to ringing, what would you hear? The Andy Griffith theme. Or unless he's changed his ringtone, his phone rings the Andy Griffith theme. So, you know, if he's back over in another room and I hear the Andy Griffith theme, oh, Leonard's phone just rang. You may be in another room and you hear certain, MASH is coming on. Or some other program is coming on because you hear that song. Well, when you read the first 14, 15 verses of Ephesians, you got a choice of what's going to be your theme song. Your theme song can be, I'm just a poor wayfaring stranger traveling through this weary world of woe. And I know a lot of Christians, that is their theme song, and I'm thinking, you don't get it. Or you can sing right out of the hymn book. I'm a child of the King. I'm a child of the King with Jesus my Savior. I'm a child of the King. I've been adopted. My name's written down. An heir to a mansion, a robe, and a crown. Praise the Lord. I'm a child of the King. You ever see any picture of the royal family over in England? And you ever see Prince William walking around with his head down like he's discouraged and some poor nobody? No. He walks around because he knows his daddy's the King and he's a part of the royal family. Folks, that's the way you ought to live. Not pridefully, not strutting, but with the joy of knowing, I belong to Jesus. I'm a child of the King. I have a wonderful inheritance that's been mine since before the foundation of the world. I'm a part of the family of God. I'm redeemed. I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. I rejoice in it and I praise the Lord for it. I pray that you'll leave here and all afternoon you'll be singing, I'm a child of the King, I'm a child of the King. With Jesus, my Savior, I'm a child of the King. Because you have been adopted. Your name has been written down. You do have a robe and a crown because you belong to Jesus. And if there's anybody that's either in this building or listening later that has never received Jesus Christ, please do so. He chose you. Say yes to Him. Would you stand for a benediction? We'll sing an invitation first. If you need to come to the altar just to thank the Lord for your salvation, if there's somebody that needs to come and make some other decision, we invite you to come. If you just need to come and just talk to the Lord, we invite you to come.
We're going to sing verses 1 and 3, if you'll follow the board.
Christian in me.
Bless you, the Lord keep you, the Lord make his face to shine upon you, the Lord give you peace. Lord, blessings be upon you. May you live here today rejoicing that you're a child of the King. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.